And now we welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church. We are located at 333 South Chestnut Street. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. We have a special treat for our radio audience today. Reverend Fred Shaw, a Shawnee storyteller, will be doing our message today. Coming up on December 9th, we invite all families to Trinity United Methodist Church for our traveling night in Bethlehem. Kids and their families will explore the city at the time of Jesus' birth through hands-on experiences. They will find out all about the most important baby ever born, and they will learn that He came to save us. Please bring your entire family to 333 South Chestnut Street and join us in this amazing adventure. Our scripture for today is found in Luke 10:27. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all of your strength and with all of your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And now I welcome Reverend Fred Shaw.
Thank you very much. Good morning. In our call to worship today, we talked about everything that really matters in life is a circle. Human hugs. The sky with all of its wonders of the planets and the stars. We thought about even water, how it is a cloud, a rain, and then into the sea from the rivers and then back up into the clouds as vapor. And you know, when you drop something into the water, it always creates expanding circles. Well, when we think about the circle, that's the way it is. It's not static. It is constantly expanding and welcoming more and more. We as Christians know that Jesus said that there were four ways in which we were to worship God. And then He added a little kicker at the end and made a fifth one. And that was that we were to worship God with our hearts, with our strength, with our souls, with our minds, and our neighbors as ourselves. There's that little extra one. You know that John Wesley came up with the same idea. Isn't that strange? Because John Wesley said for a people to really have a full understanding of who God is, they must first of all have stories. You know, heart is talking about emotion, isn't it? How we feel, what we value. It's really what defines us as human beings. And so, we are defined, according to John Wesley, by stories called Scripture. And for us to know those stories gives us hope. It gives us a sense of who we are as a people and how we are to treat other people, how we are to walk upon the earth. Well, among the Oshawa-No-Dase people, those of us who are in the Ohio country, we also believe the same thing. We say that the circle begins with the emotion, with the heart. And we place that in the east. Now, I think you've got a... Yes, you do. Good. Over here, you've got the east in the circle, that quadrant. And in the east, we have our stories. Because we say that our stories are how we know who we are as a people. In fact, the people do not know who they are without the stories. And the grandfathers and grandmothers tell me that in the time before this, my ancestor was a very evil man. He was always getting in fights, always making a big noise about himself. He would kill animals and let them rot. Until finally the people became so tired of this man, they burned him all up. Now the breather of all life, the one that we call Kichamanatu, the most awesome of the awesome, was watching this and said, "These people, they don't know how to live very well, do they? I will fix things." So the maker of all life sent forth breath. And the breath blew through the ashes. And they puffed and they blew. And the man stood up again, alive. And Kichamanatu said to him, "My child, you have been a very evil man. But now it is you that I will use to teach these people how to live in balance, in harmony, in peace, beauty, and love." And Kichamanatu put all of the stories into the head and the heart of that one man. He became the first Olima Pais, truth teller, storyteller. Because I am of the line of that man, I also am a storyteller. And when I am telling stories before my tribal people, I always paint a gray line down my face, like the ashes from which the first one arose. And they think it means that I'm a storyteller. Well, yes. But I actually paint it for myself, not for them. It is a reminder to me, by painting those ashes on myself, that without the stories, I am a very evil man. But with the stories, I am a giver of life and of hope and of joy and of love. And so the East is the place of hope. And the name given to that man who was the first storyteller was Pekawa. It's mispronounced in Ohio as Pikwa. It means a man who stands up out of ashes, a man of hope. Jesus is our hope as Christians. And we begin to see that hope coming as a need from all human beings. Then we move down into the South. Now, the South is the place of strength. The South is the place where you find out truly what your strength is in order to give to other people. Because you first receive. It's the place of the south wind. And the south wind is what cares for the animals as they migrate. And without that care, we would have no food. It is the south wind that will kiss the ice in the spring and bring it back to flowing life. It is the south wind that caresses brown grass and turns it green. It's the south wind that is the giving wind. And we are meant to be giving people. And we find what our strength is, what our gift is, that is to be given to others, then we pass it on to them. And they also then receive strength. Now, John Wesley said that that strength is found in our traditions. Things that have been passed on to us from our ancestors, not only our ancestors of life, but our ancestors in the faith, that says, this is what works. This is what people need. And it is being gifted to you through God so that you can give it to other people. And that completely transforms your life when you realize that. You know, when I was first assigned to a congregation back in 1969, I was 19 years old. I knew everything. And I could hardly wait to go out and share it with my new congregation. And I had prepared a sermon with huge gestures. and just all kinds of, you know, little things that I was going to be doing in it. I could hardly wait to sing the grand songs. And I arrived at Tatman's Gap. And there were three people. They were huddled around a pot-bellied stove. It was August. It was lit. These were old people, especially to a 19-year-old. Well, after all the service and everything, I found out that they were siblings. 1 year apart, they had lived together their entire lives, and they were someplace in their whoever knew. But they were good Methodists, I'll tell you that. The brother took up the offering, the one sister went ahead and counted it, and the other sister witnessed it. That's a good Methodist. And our piano player sister, I just soon discovered, had cataracts. I don't think she ever hit the note that was the one we were supposed to do. And so we just kind of stumbled through that. And then that sermon I had prepared, all of a sudden it just shrank. And I got it done as quickly as I could and got out of there. And as I was going out across the gravel parking lot to my car, the brother caught up with me, because it was one man, two sisters. And he looked at me sort of aside and said, "Well, son, we're getting a mite old, you think?" Remember, I'm 19. And he says, "We don't really do too much anymore. And, you know, Helen down the road, she's got lumbago, something awful. George has got cancer." And he named off all the people in the community, and every one of them had something wrong. And he said, "So we three's all that's left. But we'll keep her open. And then when we die, the church is going to die." Well, I went home fuming about the idiocy of bishops who would waste my time sending me to a congregation of only three old people waiting to die. My grandfather was a Methodist minister for 54 years. And I decided that maybe I ought to call him up and vent. And I did. And he let me go. And then finally he said, "Fred, do you believe in the communion of the saints?" "Well, yeah, I just wrote a paper about it." "I didn't ask if you knew about it. I asked you if you believed it." "Oh." And I had enough sense to say, "Well, maybe you better explain it to me." And he said, "If you believe in the communion of saints, you didn't have three people. You had millions. Everyone who has ever called upon the name of God was present in that service before the throne of God. And everyone who will ever call upon the name of God is depending upon that service. You had the most important people in the world in front of you, and you failed them." They are the link between everything that's been and everything that can be. I went back the next Sunday and I told those people who they were. And I had big gestures. And we sang no matter what. And at the end of that service, the brother followed me out to the car. And this time he took me and turned me and looked straight into my eyes and said, "Pastor, I'm darned if I'm going to be the leaf that broke." And over the next 6 months, those three people who had been waiting to die went out and got 24 young people from the community to be a part of that church. 800% increase. Best charge conference I ever had. And I didn't do a thing. I was a student. I only showed up on Sunday morning. They did it. Because they discovered who they were. they discovered the strength that had come to them in the tradition, and that it was theirs to share. And they did it. That's the South. That is the place of your strength. Then you move around to the West. Now, the West is a place of the setting sun, and people also always seem to think that's a downer. It's not. Jesus called that the place of the soul. John Wesley called it experience. Huh? Do you know everybody is born with a spirit about the size of a little mustard seed? And then, through all of your experiences of life and how you respond to them and what you come to value through those experiences and how you change other people's lives through those experiences, grows that spirit into a soul that you will present to your God as a gift. To say, this is what you entrusted to me and this is what I'm giving you back. Remember the parable of the talents? That's the growing of a soul. That is experience. Probably one of the most difficult parts of that experience is learn how to forgive. Once you begin to get that one, then you're pretty well starting to open the doors on that soul. The grandfathers and grandmothers tell us that we had that kind of a problem too. And that ours was that, well, we all believed that the world had been made just for us. And that everything else was to serve us. That sounds familiar? And during that time, because everything was made for us, we decided that we could kill as many of the animal people as we wanted, just for fun. And we could ignore the plant people, and we could also soil the waters. Didn't matter. It was all about us. And so it was that one day, the animal people cried out to the Maker and said, there needs to be a fairness here. And so the Maker of all life gave the first negative gift, disease. And the animal people sent it among the humans. And the humans began to die. Many died until there was again balance, harmony, beauty, joy, and love. But it lasted only for a moment. For the animal people were so angry at the greed of the human beings, they kept on sending the disease when they should have stopped. And the humans became fewer and fewer. Until they cried out, there needs to be a new fairness. And it was then that the plant people said, let us be the fairness. And the healing of every disease was given into the care of the plant people. But humans kept on dying because in their arrogance they had not thought the plant people were important and they had not learned their language. And so although the cure was growing right outside their door, those inside the Uyghur died from the disease. And they became so weak and so few that the only thing they could hunt for food were the children of the animal people. And it looked as if all the human beings would disappear. But it was then that one of the animal people took pity on them, though they had broken her heart by killing her children the moon before. She took pity on them, and she began to teach them the language of the plants. And that one is Makwa, the bear. And ever since that time, she has been our healer. For she taught us the language of the plants. And she also taught us that if you would heal your own broken heart, you must first forgive the ones who broke it. And then you not only will heal yourself, you will heal them as well. It is the way life is. When my people think of Jesus, we think of the bear, the one with great strength, who could have destroyed us all from that cross, and instead said, "Father, forgive them. They just don't know what they're doing." The first time I truly heard those words is when I became a Christian. Because I could let go of all the hurt and all the hate about what had been done to my people. And it completely changed who I am. I started to grow a soul. And I try to keep it polished. Gets a little tarnished once in a while. And you got to brighten it. Being with people like you brightens it. And then we move up into the north. And the north is the place of the mind. I think it is so interesting that not only Jesus calls it the mind, but also Wesley is calling it the mind, reason, and my people also called it the mind. Because you have to be able to think about all of these other wondrous gifts that are bringing you into this balance of the circle, in which every portion of it is important. You don't just read scripture, you also have to have experiences. You don't just have experiences, you also have to have a way of giving as a result of those experiences. You have to have a mind that will question and doubt and then believe. All of it's necessary. And you can't have just one part. It's all necessary. I hear a lot of people tell me, "Well, I believe in the Bible." Well, I'm glad. But it's not enough. No, or "I believe that I'm an eternal spirit." Well, fine, but it's not enough. You have to bring it all together. And when you bring it all together, guess what happens? You immediately go to that little center point where Jesus said, "And love your neighbor as yourself." And it's there that we encounter God. Remember what I told the children earlier? Ilani Hook, I am. The same name that we start our names with is the name that God says God's name is. Purposeful being. We encounter God as we encounter those other I ams in our circle at the very center. And here's the marvelous thing about the center of the circle. It's limitless. You don't have to worry about not having a space because somebody else took it. There was an old saying one time, "How many angels can dance on the head of a pin?" No offense. And the answer is, as many as want to. You know, as many as want to. Because that center is the infinite love of God for every one of us. And all those people of the world that we don't know, but we know they exist, and we care about them. We feed them. We send them medicine. We help to drill wells. We do all sorts of things to strangers. And that is how we are known in the world. One of the songs I grew up with was one that said, "They'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love." Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. And that is the absolute definition of the circle. Love. And at its heart is the Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.
And today, instead of a song for our response, we have a Native American affirmation of faith. You will find it on the screen, and the parts in bold you will read. So please join me. All life is sacred, expressing the Creator's love.
All life is sacred, revealing the Creator's joy.
All life is sacred, connecting the Creator's nations.
All life is sacred, connecting the Creator's circle.
Sacred is the life that expresses the Creator's love. Christ's sacred life gives the Creator's nation.
Sacred is the life that connects the Creator's circle.
The Creator's sacred love cannot be bought. There we go. Get back on track here. Christ's sacred life gifts the Creator's nations.
Christ's sacred life connects the Creator's circle.
Christ's sacred life expresses the Creator's love.
Christ's sacred life expresses the Creator's love.
Christ's sacred life gifts the Creator's nations. The Creator's sacred love cannot be bought.
The Creator's sacred joy cannot be paid.
The Creator's sacred nations must not be broken.